Well, good morning. Glad to have each one today. Thank you for coming, and thank the Lord for the many times that He has met with us. I'd like to say in beginning here that I'd like for us to think about something, a subject today that as you begin to try to use it and apply it in our lives, I trust that the Lord will give us wisdom and understanding of not knowing how to apply it. I'm a person that from a pretty young boy has always carried a pocket knife. I carried a pocket knife when I went to school, back before we weren't supposed to take pocket knives to school. And I grew up in an age where some of my school friends, we never thought anything about having a shotgun in the back glass of the pickup truck or something like that. It was just, that's the way, the only reason we locked the doors, we just didn't want somebody in the neighborhood stealing our gun. We never thought about somebody using it at the school. That was just completely off of our, wasn't in our thinking. So there's something about having something like a pocket knife. As a young boy, I did it a lot more, but it's, you know, you can cut yourself with a pocket knife. My mother and dad used to tell me, you know, when you're whittling with a pocket knife, you always want to push whittle away from you, or you're liable to cut. If you're whittling towards yourself, you can more apt to cut your finger or maybe stab yourself or something. But anyway, you think about other things that could cause injury that are very valuable for us to have. I carry a pocket knife to open boxes and scrape stuff off sometime. I usually can't keep one sharp very long because I'm always using it on something that seems to dull the blade. And then I had to think about having a chainsaw. Most of us men here probably have a chainsaw of some sort. And, you know, they are incredibly handy, and you can use them for lots of different things besides just cutting a tree limb off. But you got to be careful with them. You can hurt yourself with a chainsaw, and it could be life-threatening to use a chainsaw in an unorthodox manner, which most all of us have at some point. But we could use it in a manner and do ourselves serious injury. So the thought I have today, I trust, will be used in the right way. And it's something that I want us to use it for what it's intended for and not to cause ourselves damage. So I said all of that to try to get us on the right foot. What I have to say today with the help of the Lord is something that you could use wrong, all right? It could be used by the enemy to bring suspicion and doubt and fear into your heart, but I trust that it won't. I trust that it'll be used correctly. I want to talk this morning about a word, and I'm going to write it up here on the board. So I've wrote the word predator up here on the board, and a predator exhibits traits. I looked this up so I get somebody else's words instead of just mine. It exhibits traits such as sharp teeth, claws, and venom that enhance their ability to catch food. They also possess extremely acute sensory organs that help them to find potential prey. So the reason I got to thinking about this was I had an uncomfortably close encounter with a predator this past week, earlier in the week, I went out to check on one of my cows that had just had a baby calf, probably 2 or 3 hours old. And as I went out there, I was riding out there on a four-wheeler across the pasture, and I realized after I got going, there's a coyote right out there by this baby calf. And the mother cow was just absorbed in the baby calf and hadn't realized the coyote was there. And I didn't realize it was there either until I got out there pretty close. And he was just standing probably maybe 15 or 20 feet away from that baby calf. And I thought, boy, I sure wished I had a weapon. I wished I had something here. I would do something to that coyote. So he realized I was coming, and he turned and run off a little ways. But he didn't just take off completely. He run over into the edge of the woods, just another 50 feet or so from the cow, maybe 100 feet, and just stood there and was watching. And about that time, the mother realized there was a coyote, and she stopped what she was doing, and she just watched him. She realized there was a predator, and I know that once that cow realized that that predator was close at hand, there was only one thing on her mind: you're not touching my baby. And if that coyote had come close, it would have realized that mama was going to take care of her baby. And I was glad that she was aware, and I thought about that quite a bit when it was close to the end of the day and nightfall came, and I thought, you know, I don't want to lose a calf to a coyote. And but one thing about a mama cow, she'll lay right down by that little baby. She won't get very far away from it. And I haven't lost one. I'm very thankful for that. But I got to thinking about a predator. You know, I noticed this coyote when I went out there. The reason I didn't see him is because he's not bright green. He's not bright orange. You know, he looked like tree limbs and brush and grass. And I've read a little bit about coyotes molt in the midsummer, and their coat, their fur kind of changes color a little bit to where it looks more like dead leaves and sticks and stuff like that. And you notice this time of year, a coyote, unless he's running down the blacktop or something like that, they just really blend into all the dead grass around here. So I've been thinking about a predator and realize that we have a real serious predator that's got us in his sights. So I'd like to turn to St. John, the 10th chapter, and I'd like to begin reading here in chapter 10, verse 1. And notice what Jesus is saying to those that are in his presence in in John, the 10th chapter. Beginning verse 1, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." I'd just like for us to not spend a lot of time, but I'd just like to ask you this morning, have you ever been stolen from? Have you ever had anything taken from you? He says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. of the sheep. All that enter came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. All those that came and tried to get people to follow them, and Jesus came at a time when the Jewish people were at a real dilemma. There had been others that had proclaimed themselves to be something special, a prophet, to even be the Messiah. There had been insurrections and all kinds of attempts during the Maccabean period and thereafter, during the time leading up just before Jesus got there. He said, they weren't the Messiah, but he says, I am. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus came to give us something that is beyond our natural ability to achieve. He says, I came to give you life, and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to enable mankind to reach his full potential. Reconciliation with God empowers mankind like nothing else ever can. Jesus came to give us that. And not just to give us life, but to give it to us more abundantly. Nothing gives courage like confidence. And nothing gives confidence like knowing everything is clear between God and yourself. When you know that this avenue, this connection between God and myself is good and solid, we can have confidence. And when we have confidence, we have courage. It's just something that goes hand in hand. So the thing that Jesus came, he came to provide a way where we could be reconciled all of the debt that sin caused us to be under. All of that can be reconciled. It can be paid for. Everything can be settled up. The song that says, the old account was settled. You remember that phrase? It was settled because Jesus came and paid the price for sin. And he's giving us an opportunity to claim the blood and be reconciled on an individual basis. If there's somebody that's not reconciled with Jesus and with God today, they can plead the blood of Christ and be reconciled. And when we know that gulf has been bridged between us and God, and we have that, we know that we've been reconciled with God, then there is a level of confidence and assurance that comes from that. And when we have that confidence that reconciliation has happened with us and God, then we have courage. Courage for what? Courage to face life. And he says he came not to just give us life, but to give it more abundantly. More rewards in life. He adds, he's told us another place, if we would seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, that all these other things would be added unto us. If we will seek to be reconciled with God, this is what Jesus came to give us, we'll have confidence. And then confidence enables us to have courage to face whatever comes along. So, he said, though, that the thief cometh not, but, he says, the thief cometh not, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Three things: kill, steal, and destroy. Now, I asked you earlier, have you ever had anything stolen from you? And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if you've lived life very long, you've probably had something stolen. It's not not just your brother or your sister that took your pencil or borrowed your socks and didn't bring them back. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you realizing that someone else was in your private place. Someone else breached the security of what you had thought you had provided for some of your assets, and they took them. And you never saw them again. Or maybe when the next time you saw them, they were in the possession of someone else. And we more than likely, most of us have experienced that. And if you haven't, unfortunately, you probably will. There's going to be at some time, it could be a tool. It could be, it could be just your residence. You know how unsettling it is to realize that somebody came in while you was gone and ate your porridge. You know the little story about Goldilocks and the three bears, and she went in and who's been sitting in my chair and who's been sleeping in my bed and who ate my porridge? And we feel like our space is being violated. It has been violated. But that is what a predator does. They come in and they eat our porridge and they sleep in our beds and they break our chairs. That's what they're going to do. They're going to take our things. And Jesus came to give us an abundant life, more than that. But the reality is, there's predators out there. Now, I have a different reason for wanting my little baby calf to live than the mother does. That's part of her. And she wants it to live too. But the predator really doesn't care about either one of us. It's looking for something of its own. It's looking for something selfish, you see. And it's coming to steal and to kill and destroy. A predator is anything that preys on something else. When our space has been violated, whatever that entity is that has preyed on us is the predator. And Satan, obviously, is our predator. He's a predator on mankind. He's a predator on those that are unsuspecting or unsuspicious. He preys on innocent, un-Christian, non-Christians. Did you know that? He don't care. Somebody can have no knowledge of Christ and he'll still prey on them. And he will prey on those that have. Did you know that you could have a cow that was worth, I knew a man one time, this has been a long time ago, so I'm sure this is not even realistic anymore, but he told me that the fellow that owned the ranch he worked on paid $100,000 for a cow. And this has probably been 25 years ago. And it was like, boy, I don't know how that pencils out. He gave a lot of money. You know, you think they let this cow just roam out there and step in a hole and where it could break it? No, they're going to take extra care for it. I don't know if it slept on a mattress or I don't know, but they took extra care of a $100,000 cow. Well, it doesn't matter if you've been raised in a good, solid, godly home or if you've been raised out there just amongst the people that don't know anything about God. Satan is going to prey on every one of us. And he's going to steal, he's going to kill, and he's going to destroy. I don't know what an adult coyote's teeth look like, but I know what a young coyote's teeth look like because I caught one time. Caught him in a cage. My dogs had backed him in a corner, and I went out there while they had him kind of treed in the corner of a building, and I took a steel cage that you might carry a dog into to one place to another, pretty good sized cage, and I opened the door and I slid it up close to him and watched his little head go back, and he's just a pup and he was yodeling and yipping and barking and all of that because the dogs had him treated. I reached over behind him and I whacked him with a fence post and he jumped in that cage. So I kept him a couple days so I could look at him a little closer. And he had, his teeth looked like little needles or something. Oh, they were sharp. And they were kind of curved. I know they were there to rip and to tear flesh. That's what they were designed to do. And I don't know if an adult coyote is that way or not, but this little fella's mouth, I knew what those teeth was just for one thing, and that's to eat something. Eat raw flesh. That's what he was designed to do. And you know, I know this about the devil. It doesn't matter if it's a young person that's been raised coming to Sunday school or if it's a young person that don't even know there is such a thing as a God. The devil is out to eat them up. He is a predator. He wants to destroy their lives and cause them to have nothing but heartache and then take them to hell. That's what he wants to do. So, I'm thinking about, I was observing this coyote and the way he handled himself. And I thought, you know, something that wants to eat a little baby, I just don't like that. But he wasn't very courageous. Did you know the devil is sneaky? He's not. What happens when you start calling on Jesus and the devil is close, is trying to intimidate you? He's like pouring salt on a slug. He just starts fading away. When you start calling on Jesus in your times of distress, it's just the other day the children were at the house and they found a slug around my back door, so they had to go get the salt and pour the salt on the slug and watch him shrivel up. You know, when you start calling on the Lord in your time of distress, the old devil, he's just like a slug. He just, you know, that slug, it'll probably, I don't know what they eat. They'd like to come in my house, though. But you can sprinkle salt on them, and they just start shriveling up and turning to mush. And when we start calling on the Lord, the devil starts shriveling up. He's not very courageous. He just got sharp teeth. And if we don't watch him, he'll bite on us. He'll chew on us and he'll take us down. And that old coyote, he just slinked back in the woods and kind of was standing there camouflaged. But I could see him because I could see his eyes. He just mostly blended in, but he was there. And if the mama had run off and abandoned her baby and I hadn't have been out there, I know what he'd have done. I know what he'd done. I wouldn't have any baby. So I'd like to turn to Matthew now in the 7th chapter and kind of look at some of the characteristics of a predator, a spiritual predator. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, this is still part of the Sermon on the Mount, and maybe we'll begin reading. He covers a lot of different things. We'll begin reading maybe the 13th verse, give it a little sense of where we're at. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And then he changes his direction a little bit. He wants us to find the right way. You agree? He wants us to be on the path that'll take us to heaven. Then he says in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So back in verse 15, he says, beware of what kind of prophets? False prophets. Did you know a false prophet is a predator? A false prophet is a spiritual predator. He says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in what kind of clothing? Sheep's clothing. What did Jesus say? He's the good shepherd, and his sheep hear his voice. And here he says, a false prophet is someone that comes to you in sheep's clothing, has the appearance that they're one of you, has the vocabulary that he's one of you, has the mannerisms that he might be one of you, claims to be a what? A Christian. All right? Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. That the outward appearance somehow, whether it's in their physical clothing or whether it's in the words they say, the scriptures they quote, or the way they talk, or the subjects they want to talk about, I'm one of you. In fact, I might be a better sheep than you are. He says, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Do you know a wolf? This is not a new thought, but a wolf and a coyote are both predators in the wild. They're both predators. They don't raise tomatoes. They don't do any farming. They don't do any cultivating of any kind. They just hunt and steal. They'll steal your chickens. They'll steal your pigs. They'll steal your calves, and they'll eat them. They're a predator. He says, beware of false prophets, which comes to you in sheep's clothing. A predator most generally will come in disguise or camouflage. Disguised as a sheep or camouflaged to blend into the background. One of the two. My coyote at the house looked like the dead grass in the brush. He blended in. They'll use a facade or they'll just blend in. One of the two. A spiritual predator will introduce false doctrine while either appearing to be God's emissary or God's representative or blend into the landscape and question truth and sound doctrine. So they'll either appear that they're one of God's people, and they begin introducing something that's not sound. Or they'll blend in and just be one of the group. But they'll begin to pose questions about things that sound doctrine and truth. You know why I carry a pocket knife? Because I have a reason to use it. And I'm not going around threatening somebody with a pocket knife, all right? You know why we need to know that there's such a thing as a false prophet? Is we need to have discernment and realize, is this truth or does this have a bad sound to it? You know, there's two bells over there on the Monarch campgrounds. One of them is fairly small, and it's down by the old dining hall, and it's probably, what would y'all say, 18 inches to 2 foot in diameter, something like that, and it's got a good tone to it. When you ring that bell, it's got a sharp, crisp ring to it. And there's another bell that someone found, and have put it on another post over by the caretaker's house, and it's a bigger bell. And it's probably at least 50% bigger than the other one. But when you sound it, when you hit it, it's like you're hitting on a piece of junk iron or something. It don't have a clear tone. And it kind of goes clang, but it don't ring. You know, many times when there's something presented by a false prophet that might look like they're an emissary or a representative of God, they might be in a position of, or might be trying to be established in a position of leadership, but when something doesn't ring true with the Scripture, and it doesn't ring true with the Spirit of God, it's false. It's like that bell that doesn't ring. So it's kind of like carrying a pocket knife. You got to know when to use it and when to leave it in your pocket. You got to know, Lord, we got to ask God, Lord, is this true? You remember what the writer said in Acts about the Bereans? They went and looked in the Scriptures to see if the things they heard was true, if it was so. We have to be on our guard. We have to be like that old mama cow. We have to be like the shepherd that's taking care of the sheepfold. We have to be aware. Is that real sound? Is that true? Does it ring true? Does the Scriptures really support that? Or does it sound like somebody's beating on a piece of junk iron? And many times, if all we've heard is junk iron, sometimes it's hard to know what the real sound is supposed to be. So Lord, help us to use this thought today in the right manner. Because the devil, the ones that's out to steal and to kill and destroy us, he would like us to use it. You know, if I pull my pocket knife out this morning and open the blade and went around to carrying it with the blade poking out all the time, y'all wouldn't want to get very close to me because you'd be afraid that I might poke you with it. And we've got to be careful about allowing discernment to turn into suspicion. All right? It's one thing to discern whether something is true or not. It's another thing to be suspicious of everybody and everything. Because can we be healthy and be suspicious of everything? The answer to that is no, we can't be. God wants us to be able to have trust and fellowship and empty vessel to vessel and be a blessing to one another. That's what He wants. So, remember what I said. Take the thoughts today. Use them in the right manner. But a false prophet is a predator. Now I want to go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and 8th verse. Notice what's something that Peter said to us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and notice verse 8. He says here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary the devil, there's a predator and we know his name. He's Satan. He's the devil. He's as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. So I've heard this illustration about a lion that roars to cause the small creatures or those that are apprehensive of his roar to run because they don't know really where he's coming from. Well, I've done a little reading and I don't know what's really correct, but I know that if we stepped outside the building today, and we heard a lion, a real lion, roar in this neighborhood, I know that we would become animated. The first thing that we would do is probably look around and where's all the children? Where's those that can't move very fast? Y'all get inside the building, lock the door. We don't know where he's at, but there's a lion in the yard. That's what we would do. And what happens out in the wild if a little creature that thinks they're safe, maybe they're taking a nap, and a lion roars, and what do? They're liable to jump and run, and they might run right towards the lion. Nobody knows exactly where he's at. And if we heard a lion roar, unless we actually saw the thing, and if we saw him coming down the street and he was coming right up here towards the steps, we'd probably say, did y'all lock the deadbolt? Maybe y'all ought to get down below the windows where he can't see us in here. He might smell us, but we don't want him to see us in here. Well, this is what the devil does. He roars and he causes us to expose our position and our vulnerable places. Do you know all of us have places, no matter how long we've been living for God, we have places where we don't feel as strong as maybe we want to be. And the devil will roar and want us to jump and run and make a call. I have seen this happen in discussions over and over. Somebody, it's agitating a situation, and I remember one time someone came to my house, was sitting in the living room, and they began to question me about the doctrine of divorce and remarriage and innocent party and all of that. And I just had to stop them, because they were wanting to take me way around, and they was wanting to roar and cause me to jump and say, do something that would have been a place that they could have chewed on and maybe taken advantage of me. It's one thing, I just recently had someone come and was explaining a position that was I couldn't agree with, and before it was all over, I told him, I said, I'm looking real hard for something that I can agree with. And I said, I'm hearing you, but I don't agree with you. You know, we have to be careful. The devil wants to roar and cause us to jump and run. And there's going to be those that we come in contact, and they're going to want to trip us up in some kind. I don't like debating. I don't see that it's profitable. If somebody has a question, I'll do the best I can to answer a question, but I'm not interested in bantering back and forth. You might be good at it. I'm going to tell you I'm not good at it. I'll listen to what you got to say, and if I don't agree with you, I'll tell you that. That's just the way it's going to work. And that's the way we have to be with the devil. The devil's going to come along, and he'll want to debate a point with us. But if this is right, then this must be right. And if that's wrong, then this must be wrong. And he just wants to go around and around and get us all stirred up and animated and roaring at us. And then we'll jump out and may say something that's not quite as balanced as it should be. And then he'll say, I got you. That's what the devil wants to do to you. Get you all worked up because somebody else parked in your driveway, and then get you to be irritated when really he shouldn't have ever got you there. You see? He wants to cause us to feel defeated when there really was no reason to be defeated. There is a way to work through the confrontations that the devil brings. And Lord, help us to have the courage and the stamina to be able to do that. If we react because of fear and uncertainty, we are exposing our vulnerabilities. You think about that. The devil is our adversary, And he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. When a lion roars, when the devil roars, he doesn't know who might jump out in harm's way. He doesn't know whether he'll get one mouthful or a meal for a week. He doesn't know that. And the devil can come to us and he can present things that can tangle us up just for a moment's time. And then he can also present something and cause us to react in a manner that'll cause us to struggle with something for a lifetime. So the big thing is when the devil is roaring and we know that something, it don't sound right, it sounds like somebody's beating on junk iron, and he's roaring and he's wanting us to react and give an answer and why can't you tell me what you believe and why can't you answer this question, and really there's just another one behind that. And if we will stop and we can maybe listen and say, look, I'll listen to what you got to say, and when they're all done, they say, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. You know, it's like pouring salt on a slug. We didn't react. We didn't jump out in the middle. You know how stable you are when you jump and you land? The moment you land, you're not very sure-footed. But when something is coming into my territory and I know exactly where my feet are, I'm a lot more stable. So be careful about jumping out in the middle of something and then trying to figure out how to make it work. All right? Sound has been used for centuries to seduce, to mask, and to intimidate mankind into exposing their vulnerabilities. I've done some research a long time ago now about those that worship the god Moloch. And it required human sacrifice, and they sacrificed little children. That's one of the reasons that most likely that we don't have any descendants from Solomon is because many of his wives worshipped Moloch. Pretty gruesome thought. King. Children by too many women. These women worshipped this god that they heated up this statue and then laid little children in their glowing hot arms. Awful. Awful way. You know what they did to disguise the screams and the cries and all that? Sound. Beating of drums. Disguised what was really going on. And anytime I go into a place and there's so much racket going on that I can't hear myself think, it's too much. If I can't think a cognizant thought in the activity that's going on, there's too much stuff going on, too much. There's something that's pushing me. Sound. The devil is our adversary, like a roaring lion, wanting us to jump and make a decision. You know why they do all the screaming and the hollering and the loud sound effects at big events? They want people to make a decision. They want people to jump and to run and to do something to where they can be consumed by the thing that's going on. May the Lord help us to be calm and to avoid those places where the enemy is roaring and wanting us to retaliate, to react, and do the things that would cause us to be at a disadvantage. I'd like to turn now to Acts, the 28th chapter. And notice another way that a predator, the devil, is going to work on us. Acts, the 28th chapter, beginning in verse 20. He says, "For this cause, therefore, have I called you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." This is Paul speaking to those, the Jews that were in Rome. "And they said unto him, we neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came shewed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect or Christianity, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, they came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them according concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying unto this people, and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So here's what's happening. The Jews had heard a lot of stuff. They had heard a lot of things. In the 20th verse there, 22nd verse we read, he says, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Did you know Christianity is being spoken against in our world today, everywhere we turn? There's some kind of fallacy in Christianity that people want to expose. There is something they say doesn't ring true. This is not the way it ought to be. This is not profitable. It's the root of all of our troubles. They want to point this out about Christianity. And the writer Luke most likely here said that after Paul had spoke, the observation of Luke was, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah, the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and saying, hearing ye shall hear and not understanding, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. What's he talking about? You ever get up in the morning and you got your eyes open and you're really not seeing? So you ever have somebody say something to you and you don't really hear what they're saying? It's happened more often to me now than it ever did. I know somebody talked to me, but I don't know if they said stocks or socks. And I just don't know what was being said. You know that we can get in that state of being, not because that our hearing or our eyesight is getting dim, but because we're in a state of confusion. And they had been listening to something. They'd been listening to a lot of something. He says in verse 22, we know that everywhere it's spoken against. Did you know that one of the ways the enemy preys on us, this is a work of a predator, is he wants us to hear things. He wants us to dwell on it. He wants us to find more stuff to listen to that'll bring confusion to our mind and get us into a state of where we hear, but we don't hear. We see, but we don't perceive. We hear it, but we don't understand it. We see it, but we don't really discern the right and the wrong. This is the work of a predator. He's sneaky. He's vicious. He will run in and get us when we let our guard down. He won't come with real courage. He knows he's defeated. And when we cry out to Jesus, he can't stand. But I'm going to tell you, there's a real predator. He's either going to come with a facade, look like something he's not. He's going to blend in with the surroundings. Or he's going to try to get us to listen to things that bring confusion into our mind, where we become disoriented. My little grandchildren like for me all the girls anyway, they like for me to pick them up and spin them around and around like an airplane. And about two trips around, and I've got to set them down because I am dizzy. There was a time that I could go a lot till they would ask, a little child would ask me to set them down, and I could still walk straight, but not now. Something's happened in the last 40, 50 years, and if I pick somebody up and I spin them around, a little child, they might stand up straight, but I'm going to fall down. And if we listen to what the devil wants us to listen to, he's going to get us to where we're going to stumble and we're going to fall. We're not going to be able to stand. He's going to roar, and he wants us to just jump out and not really know where we're going to land. He wants us to get in a place where we're vulnerable, and then he's going to attack us. You know where a predator goes for? He's not going to go for my shoulder. He's going to go for my throat. He's going to go where it's most vulnerable. He's going to go for the soft tissues in my body. That's where the predator is going to go. That's where the devil's going to go. He's going to hit you where you're most vulnerable, where you don't have a real skeleton to protect you. I said, predators may do vicious things, but they're generally not very courageous. They want to sneak in while it's dark. You know, most of the time, if you've ever lost anything to a thief, it's probably they came in the night. I had one time as a young boy, someone came while we were away at vacation, of all times, for somebody to come and want to enter my dad's shop. It was when we were gone on vacation. What do you know? And the other time they came to my place here, since I've lived here at Carthage, they came and got in my shop while I was in bed asleep. You know, if they wanted to borrow something, maybe they should have knocked on the door, but they don't have the courage for that. They want to come in the night. I wonder what it would have looked like in the night. Did they come in and turn the lights on and look around? No, they probably had a little flashlight going around, snooping around and picked up what they wanted out of there. That's the way the devil comes. He's sneaky, but he's not very courageous. I want to end with a verse or two in 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. I want us to end on kind of a positive note if we can. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. The setting here is David is at the end of his reign, and he is transferring his burden and his commission over to Solomon, his son. And he says, beginning in verse 19 of chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles, he says, "All this, said David, the Lord made me to understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of his pattern." He had just given Solomon all the details about how to build the temple and all the furniture and how it was all going to be done. David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it." You remember what we said about courage? How do we get courage? It's a product of confidence. And how do we have confidence? Knowing that our relationship with God is secure. We get a secure relationship with God, we're going to have confidence. If we have confidence, then we're going to have courage. You hand me something that I'm unfamiliar with, and I'm not going to have much confidence. You're going to hand me something that I don't have any confidence with, I'm not going to have much courage to be able to use it. But on the other hand, when I have a connection with God, I have a connection with something that I'm going to be able to use to my benefit, for my occupation's benefit, I'm going to be able to step out with courage in that. So he says here, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord." And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be wholly or completely at thy commandment. So David said to Solomon, be strong and of good courage. You've got a team here. You've got a group that's supporting you and reinforcing you and going to be there to help you in every step of the way. There's no reason you can't be successful. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's no reason that we can't be successful. There's no reason we can't avoid becoming the prey. We can defeat the predator of our souls. We can get to the end of life's way and be victorious. Every one of you here, you're part of a nucleus supporting one another. We all need each other's support, but we individually have to be careful about how we respond to the predators that come along. The predators may come with a facade. They may come roaring. They may come blending into the landscape. And they may come with a lot of just information that ends up bringing confusion and distortion in our mind and would cause us to be led astray. But by God's help, we can have the courage. It keeps coming to my mind, so I'm going to share it with you. Someone wanted me to look at this little video clip. And it was a video clip of some water buffalo that I believe that's what it was. It's a cow-like creature with, they got big, heavy, it's either that or a muskox, one with the big horns, big strong looking horns, comes off of the head of the bull, and he's I don't know, probably maybe 4 feet wide or five, I don't know. But a cow and her calf was walking along, and there's a pride of lions, a group of lions, and they crept in there and they jumped on this little calf and they had it down. And the mother was helpless, seemingly, and she ran off. And it was right by a river or something there, and they had this little calf down close to the river, and a crocodile, it looked like, come up out of the water, and it had a hold of the back leg of the calf, and these lions were on the front. It looked like, surely, this went on, it seemed like, several seconds. It looked like the little calf was gone. I mean, if the crocodile didn't get it, the lions did. I mean, don't we feel like that sometimes? Feels like the devil's got us on both ends. And then out of the blue, here come one of the bulls with the big horns. He walked right in there with courage. And there's a lot of strength there. And he began to hook those lines and sling full-grown lines in the air away from that little calf. And they somehow rescued that. And you know that's when Jesus is going to come along and rescue us. And I want us to have the courage when we see one of our brothers and sisters. What did I say? When we have a clear connection with God, it brings confidence, and confidence enables us to have courage. And these big fellas had courage. They didn't have sharp teeth. They didn't have sharp claws. I've never seen a cow with sharp teeth. They don't even have any on the top in the front, if y'all didn't know that. They don't have sharp claws on their feet. They just got hooves. But they went in there and defeated those predators and rescued the little one. Lord, help us to have that kind of courage. Help us to have the right kind of connection that will enable us to have the courage when the predators come around. I desire your prayers. I want to be faithful, and I want to use these thoughts in the manner that God would have us to. I don't want to just be suspicious. I want to wisely divide the word of truth. And I want to reach out to anyone that comes along. I want to listen to what they have to say. But Lord, help us not to be confused in our minds and our souls. You pray for me.